evening for those of you who are on the telephone with us tonight. It's great to have you with us. We'll be starting the broadcast here in just a few moments. Excited to be with you tonight, especially on this topic. I'm going to go ahead and turn on the broadcast. Here we go. Welcome to Tuesday night, Celebration of Life. It's great to be with you. We'd like to welcome anyone who is visiting with us this evening. Each Tuesday night, we get together and talk about the six qualities of an intentional creator. I'm so excited to report to everyone tonight that Chapter 9 on physical creation has been completed. It's a rather comprehensive and wonderful chapter on the work of creation, overcoming fear, procrastination, living in the now, power sessions. It's just a wonderful chapter for the book. I've got to finish up just three more very short chapters on structure and discipline, finding joy in the journey, and then a really fun one on self-esteem. And the book will be ready to hand off to the editor, so very excited about where we are in that process. This has been so long to find a way to share these principles in a way that will be enjoyable to read with the stories and background, and as my agent has requested, to take people into the moments when the principles came behind the scenes. So you know what was going on in my life when I was seeking and searching for answers to these questions. The belief is that if I'm excruciatingly vulnerable, it'll give you permission to truly examine your life at a very deep level. This isn't about me. This is about me creating a safe place for you to really examine your life. Because self-improvement isn't about feeling good. It's not about wrapping a warm blanket around you so that you go to bed tonight feeling better about yourself. I don't want you feeling badly about yourself. But the bottom line is this, that we have preparation and we have realization. And between those two is the work of creation. And so we're going to want to know how to create in our mind a vision that is so clear and so exciting that it ignites our passion. Passion that we bring into the here and now, and we use that passion to drive our focus and discipline and our effort and our action in the creation of our dreams. It's very interesting. When we get into this particular area, tonight we're talking about goal setting, which is one of the five constructive ways that we use our mind. Last week we talked about mental rehearsal and seeking inspiration and exploration, where we go to the stage of our mind and we invite the force of creation to join us, whatever you want to call that force, and with a deep intention to engage in life and to embrace principles and to connect and serve others, to contribute or create value and contribute. I like to use that new word, enrich the world. We're meant to enrich the world. We're here to leave something behind and not try to take stuff with us. It's just a wonderful way to live. When we come in that space, we're in congruence with it, with a force of creation, the power of the universe, in being able to get inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges. And when those come, they will light up part of our brain we normally don't use. They will ignite our passion. And we will work without counting the cost or tracking the time. This is the way we do the work of creation. There isn't a way to skip past it. I just wrote a fairly compelling thesis on the fact that if there is a power in the universe, and I believe there is, the last thing it's going to grant to us is a shortcut that would cause us to miss out on the very process that allows us to stretch and grow and become all that we're meant to become. It would be strange if we asked to miss that and it were actually granted. What benefit would it be to anyone? Most of the time when we're asking that to just be manifest, we want that tropical island. We want to get away from annoying people and just be above all the stress and pain and frustration, which means we don't really want to engage in life. We really don't want to embrace principles, connect with people. We just want to get away from people. Serve people? Ugh, I'm tired of service. My cup is empty. Can you feel the difference in the energy? So when we make the decision that we're going to be in creation, then we hold up that tomahawk. I'm not going to go there today. I'm not going over there. I'm not going over to that place called catastrophe and fantasy. We know the physiology behind all of this. We know what happens. And we don't want to engage in that. When we come to this particular topic, we run into some very interesting barriers. I want to do my very best to share with you some ideas that perhaps I know that became clearer to me as I worked on this chapter on goal setting. And that is that we dream, and then we do the work of creation. And there seems to be a disconnect between the two. This is interesting, because goal setting in its truest sense is dreaming. We go into the future, we see the possibility, and having seen the possibility, we focus on all the millimeters between where we stand today and that target, where we want to be. That's the target. It's not a daily destination where we go and spend time in fantasy. We're creating the millimeters that will build a solid foundation leading up to these dreams. Henry David Thoreau said that. If you've built castles in the sky, don't worry. It's okay. That's where they're supposed to be. Now focus on building a foundation underneath them. Well, that's dreaming. We see the possibility. And then we focus on all of the steps, because every step between right now, today, and the dream are all in the future. What we're going to do an hour from now is still in the future. What we're going to do tomorrow is still in the future. And so we're in the day getting clear about what those steps are, so that in the now we can be focused on the next millimeter. That's what this next chapter is about. How do we focus on this and make sure that it's the next millimeter? And how can we feel passion, especially if it's a task we don't want to do, so that we can work our way closer and closer to the realization of our dream? Dreams are intentionally created. They're not just manifest magically. And I might say the power of creation participates both in showing us the possibility, ignites our passion, and showing us the steps and participating in the process, speeding it up as fast as it possibly can occur. But we don't get to miss any of the steps. We don't. Tonight, goal setting is about dreaming and seeing the possibility, then getting clear about the steps between here and there, so that when we wake up in the morning, we will know exactly why we're there. What am I to do today to get me one step closer? Here it is. There's my task for today. Whether I want to do this task or not is not important. Once we make the decision, that's the dream we want, we don't get to select what we do and don't do. Our free agency is choosing the dream. We don't have to choose the dream. But once we've chosen the dream, we don't get to choose what we do and we don't do. Isn't that an amazing thing? This is such a great wake-up call for all of us. We want to focus on and create each millimeter in its proper sequence. That's the definition of success, is the successful execution of pivotal moments in sequence. Isn't that interesting? That's the definition of success. If we're doing the millimeters, success is the natural consequence. So, tonight we want to go into goal setting knowing that if we have a dream and we don't have a plan for getting there, it's fantasy. It's just it. It's fantasy. If we have a dream, we've seen the possibility, and our focus is to engage and create and create all those millimeters between here and there. That's really dreaming. Dreaming is goal setting, and goal setting is dreaming. Now that's an interesting association. say that if we're going to dream, let us dream in the context of goal setting so that we can actually create the dream. It also adds one other wonderful ingredient, because when there's a disconnect, the dream is what we want, and then we do goal setting as all the stuff we have to do. I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to watch less television. I want to read more books. All the things we want to change in our life. So we have all of these things in our to-do list, those things we have to do, should do, must do. And we've disassociated the passion for doing with the objective, the dream. If we tie them together, the passion for the dream can be carried into today. It could be focused on this task. We can know why we're doing it. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? And to get an inspired idea around a task we may not want to do, but end up doing with joy. Not only because it's passion-driven, because it's the next step. I don't want to wear this out. I just know all of us, myself included. Sometimes it's hard to get these two tied together, because the dream really is, even though it's altruistic, we want to save the world, or it's relationship driven, whatever it might be, that's worthy, it's wonderful, it's still a fantasy, because we're not focusing on creating it. That's something we just want to have, and then we come into life and do the stuff we do every day. Because when I walk through this pattern of what we're going to go through tonight, it's very common to hear, oh, Dave, good grief, how are we supposed to do all that? I'm so busy. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I go, busy, busy, busy. There's no trophy issued for being busy. There's no bonuses issued for being busy. There's no stock options issued for being busy. Intentional creators get results. The focus is creating results. And if we can embrace this piece, something inside of us can awaken. I know it's in every one of us. I know it's in every one of us. And I've watched so many hold back and just resist. I just want to keep my foot on that gas, on that brake, excuse me, because I've got fear about that gas pedal. But all the things that we want are on the gas pedal. All the things we'd like to create have to do with the gas pedal. But we still keep hanging on to that brake. We keep it. The energy we expend trying to hold back our genius and our magnificence is mind-boggling. It's just mind-boggling. And we get in all of these tasks during the course of the day that are just absolutely overwhelming. They tie up all of our energy, and quite often, a number of them have nothing to do with moving us one step closer to our dream. Well, the process we're going to go through tonight is for the purpose of helping you identify those pieces. But let us know, as we go into this process, we are going to want to realize that we see a possibility and we create a plan for getting there. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible, Og says. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. Okay, if I sound like I'm on a soapbox, just know I'm feeling really passionate about this topic tonight. And I want you to feel my enthusiasm. I want to inspire you, breathe life into you. I don't want to motivate you, because if I push you, that's motivating you. When I stop pushing, you'll stop moving. I want to wake up that peace inside of you, as Og calls it, that flame that's been passed down from generations uncounted, that's a constant irritation to my soul to be better than I am and I will be. I will fan that flame of dissatisfaction and proclaim my uniqueness to the world. I want to touch that flame tonight. I want to ignite that just a little bit. If it's a pilot light, I want to turn on the gas. If the pilot light's out, I want to light your pilot light. Then I'm going to turn on the gas. Because this I do know, in the fibers of my being, that this is a laboratory we live in. We're being taught to be magnificent human beings. We are here to contribute. We are here to learn how to be creators and do the most we can with the clay we've been given. Because that's when we find ourselves. That's when we find the peace of mind, the sense of accomplishment. That's when our cup is filled. Taking our clay, creating the most we can in the service of other people. This is where the joy is. We can be self-centric and try to find ways to satisfy our needs, and we will constantly be starving for more. You want to fill yourself up with something where you are quenched? I want to share with you tonight the process. Now, I'm going to try to make it as simple as we can tonight. Because I do know that one of the great thought processes that gets engaged when we step into anything that has to do with structure causes confusion. You see, if we can go into confusion, we don't have to take responsibility for not doing it. I just don't know what to do. There is no one on this call tonight who doesn't know what to do. Well, what do you do? Well, what would you do if you knew what to do? What would you do if you shut off the doubt and the fear? What happens when you procrastinate and you finally jump in and do something? Wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? How does that happen? Because we finally shut off the noise and we show up. Goal setting is to help us show up every day in our life, intentionally creating our dreams. So start with a dream. A dream of possibility. I want to start with relationships. We've done this one a few times. Some of you have been on this call for a while. I'm going to encourage you. I think it was the last time we went through this. I got an email from Sue Paletti, I believe it was. And she said, you know, we were able to, by her permission, print her article in our newsletter. So those of you who get the newsletter, you read her article called Date Night and the 10-Second Kiss. And she was talking about the fact that her husband wasn't part of the coaching and he wasn't as receptive to it as she'd wanted him to be. And so she started showing up differently. And she focused primarily on what she could do each day to improve their relationship. And then a date night, that's where she started. And just those two things alone started to shift their relationship. And they adopted a thing called the 10-Second Kiss. Now, if you've ever tried one of these, just in the middle of the day, just as you're getting ready to start the day, and Ramona's over here smiling, it's a pretty precious experience. Excuse me, I'm just had dinner, and it was really delicious, but I just found a piece of my tooth, sorry. it's more than you needed to know, right? The 10-second kiss ignites something inside of us. And sometimes we're so busy there's not time for other things, even intimacy. But having 10 seconds just holding each other, a tender kiss, is pretty exciting. So if you're by yourself in the decision to proceed, there are things you can do by yourself. I'm going to give you the entire year of what to do. But start small and start building. We're going to take it from the day forward. But first we need to have a vision. A vision of possibility. Now, I'm going to start by telling you our vision of possibility. This is ours. This is not yours. You can adopt it for now, but the truth be known, you won't feel that passion being ignited until you have your own. You can also start to ignite some of that passion and see possibility by taking the actions we're talking about today. Og talked about this in scroll number 9. It's a beautiful statement when he talked about the butterfly or the firefly. And he says in this scroll, he says, I'll remember the lesson of the firefly who gives off its light only when it's on the wing, only when it's in action. I will become a firefly, and even in the day, my glow will be seen in spite of the sun. Let others be as butterflies who preen their wings and yet depend on the charity of a flower for life. That means they're just waiting for a handout. I'll be as the firefly, and my light inspiration. And my inspiration that comes as a result of my action will light the world. If we're looking for inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems, we may have to act to get some of those. But I want you to try this if you can, if you will. I know you can. I want you to go to some time in the future. It could be as little as 5 years from now. 10, 20. Ramona and I go to age 85. That's just where we go. There's something about age 85 that draws us to that date. When we're sitting there at age 85 and my eyes are closed and I'm imagining this moment, we're sitting on the back porch of the cabin at Bear Lake overlooking the beautiful lake, and it's in the fall. It's about this time of year. We're wearing a sweater, my favorite time of the year. Leaves are turning. We're drinking a cup of hot chocolate. I've got my right hand out holding her left hand. And we're just looking at each other. Just looking at each other. Now, someone says, is this fantasy? Nobody has to tell us how to drive a Ferrari if we want a Ferrari. People who think about their dream home can tell me the temperature of the tile on their bare feet. We certainly can find a way to see this possibility. If our intention is to engage in this relationship, 100% committed, build trust, foster intimacy. If that's our intention, if we're going to embrace these principles, if we're going to connect with our committed companion and serve them, if we are going to create value everywhere we go in that relationship, and if we're going to contribute and enrich that relationship, if that's our intention, this can unfold as vividly as a Ferrari, as vividly as a dream home, as vividly as being out of debt and having our bills all paid off and time freedom, financial freedom. Oh, how that would feel. We can see this just as vividly. Find your spot. Where's your spot? I've had people take me to the beaches of Maui, to a backyard barbecue, to Aspen, some beautiful places on this planet. Where will you be? Be there for a moment. Just be in this place. So we want to ask ourselves, what's going on in terms of our finances, in terms of our health, spiritually, emotionally, physically? What's happening in terms of our family? If you have children, we happen to have 7, so that would be a part of our vision. What's happening? We can easily imagine that we're financially independent, and that we're healthy, and that we're whole. We can easily imagine that all of our children and their children's children are all coming to the cabin to meet with us in just a few minutes, and they want so badly to be there, we can't wait to see them. It's going to be so exciting to spend some time together, play games, and all the stuff that we do. Can you feel it all? I can imagine looking in Ramona's eyes and feeling the sacrifice, more on her part than mine. The years, maybe some illnesses along the way, required a little extra attention, service. Knowing that I've been faithful in every way to her, no guilt, no shame, no regrets. That'd be a wonderful place to be at age 85. At peace, knowing that this sojourn on this earth, that which was most important was protected the most, that those closest to you love you the most because they know you the best. I want to be sensitive to the person who's on the call tonight who is in a tough relationship. I just felt you there for a moment. What I'm sharing doesn't apply in an abusive relationship, emotionally, physically, anyway. If it's just been on hold, and you might feel like roommates, I'm going to give you a few things tonight you can begin to do to maybe soften that. Hogg did say that with agape love, a heightened level of awareness, which we're going to talk about awareness tonight, you can soften all hearts. and the sun his rays softened the coldest clay. Now some of those hearts are a little harder, and he did not give us a time frame. But we can begin tonight, so long as it's not abusive. It's abusive, I'm going to encourage you to seek some assistance. I'm a coach, not a counselor. I'm not qualified to assist somebody who is in danger. Go see a pastor or a priest or a rabbi, the police, a therapist, someone who can guide you. Because no one deserves to be in an abusive relationship, especially you. Okay, let's go to work. Having seen this, there are branches. Now, some people may say, I really don't want a companion at age 85. I'd like to have a couple of really wonderful puppy dogs, and that's great. If you're there, then be there and examine your health and your finances. And same things apply. I'm doing this one with a relationship because that's my frame of reference. So if you don't have one and don't really care to have one, please don't be offended by this. Just take the spirit of it and apply it to your life. Because you want to intentionally create that same peace you're experiencing individually. I like to take this and branch it out. If we're going to be healthy physically, then what are we going to do from October 4th today until we get to age 85 to ensure that we're healthy? Now, what you can't see is my shoulder still quivering from this morning. Ramon and I just finished 60 days of insanity, and now we're doing some weightlifting, and we're going to take on our bodies now for the next 12 weeks and give ourselves a Christmas present. Because we want to be there at age 85 healthy. We can see it. That will be intentionally created, particularly with the genes that both of us have inherited in terms of body composition. It's going to be important that we're hyper-vigilant in that area of taking care of our bodies. So this is a greater emphasis now. But that emphasis comes from this vision. Financially, this will guide what we do with our business and what you'll do with yours or your employment. As you do the goal setting with each one of these branches coming off of this moment in time. We're going to do the relationship branch first, and we're going to do it a year at a time in such a way that if we were to do it this way and then replicate that year after year after year, inevitably we will intentionally create that relationship by the time we get to age 85. So, let's take a look at a year. Now, usually we start with a year worked to a quarter, a month, week, and a day, and I've just felt impressed tonight to start with a day. Because we live in days. We live in pivotal moments. I posted on Facebook today that it's always today. It's always now. 10 days from now, it'll still be now. 10 years from now, it will still be now. It is always now. This is the only time we get to touch the timeline of our life. Right here. Now that's in the past. Now there's a future. It's coming. Touch. Touch. It's always now. It's always now. So we want to plan our day first because it's the most important time. A year from now is a year from now. When we get there, it'll be today, but every day we want to do some very specific things that aren't done just once a year. They're done every day. So ponder for a moment. Write down on a piece of paper, what could I do today? Now you might say starting in the morning, it'll still be today. So in the morning, when it's today, what could I do to start to begin to build millimeters in this foundation that creates this desired relationship? What could I do that would lift and build my companion, validate my companion, help them feel valuable and affirmed, Ramona's better at doing this than I am. She's so fun to do it with, but sometimes I'm just so preoccupied with what I'm doing. So I join all of you who might be in that category. Let us think together. What could we do? Just ponder. This is where we use our mental rehearsal. Go tomorrow morning in your mind and just see yourself getting out of bed. What do you see? Now, I just resisted an image. I'll share with you what it was. I get out of bed and I make the bed. Now, I can turn to Ramona right here and say, what does it mean to you when you come out dressed to work out and the bed's made? She just smiled. Well, if I'm really focusing on Ramona, that would be something I would want to focus on doing, making the bed. That'd be an idea. It could be a simple thing, wouldn't it? What else might we see? We're mentally rehearsing. We're living the day in our mind. We want to serve. What else do we see? Meal preparation. I'm a guy, so you can hear me speaking from a guy's perspective. You know, think from a woman's perspective as well. What can I do? Guys, if you have ideas of intimacy later that day, I've learned that intimacy begins first thing in the morning. We get a lot of points for making the bed and taking out the trash. It's pretty romantic. Let us find a moment during the course of the day. Can you see it? I can see sitting down with Ramona, someplace comfortable, probably in our overstuffed chair in the bedroom, and just listening. Just listening. She listens so well when I'm talking as well. That's something we do. We could listen. Listen to understand what's really going on in their life. The fact that we're living in the same house, it really doesn't help us understand what's going on. Not really. We're not plugged into a wall somewhere, nor is our companion. They have their own thought processes, their own life, their own appetites, their own illnesses, their pains, their frustrations, their overwhelm, their fatigue, their desires, their dreams. They've got it all. Can we care enough to step into their world and find out a little bit about that so that they feel appreciated, valued? They matter. That'd be a second thing we could do. So far, you don't have to do all of these. I'm just giving you examples. Make the bed. Listen. The 10-second kiss idea is not a bad idea. I remember recently I was climbing into the office, in the car to go to the office, and I just was sitting in the car and I went, I really didn't say goodbye to Ramona, not the way I wanted to. Just imagine yourself climbing out of the car, going back into the house, finding your spouse, wrapping your arms around them and just holding them. And holding them just a little bit longer. I love you. Tender kiss. Goodbye. Now that's from my perspective. Women, you can do the same thing from yours. Can you imagine? On a daily basis? Another thing that we like to do, and I recommend it, before we go to bed tonight, we'll be kneeling down with one another. I'm always the voice at night. Ramona's always the voice in the morning. And we've just got a lot of things we want to pray for together. We've got friends that are recovering from burns, and my mother who's got stage 4 breast cancer, and a dear friend who's got a brother-in-law who's dying of cancer. The list goes on of all these precious, wonderful people. It's a moment for Ramona and I to kneel together and plead to our God on their behalf. There's also things we can say to each other that are sometimes difficult to say, except for in that kind of a setting. If you're not prayerful or if you don't believe in the God, you know, a God, then don't be offended. Just make sure you have a moment that's precious like that with the two of you together. Sometimes we're really tired. It's late. But what a wonderful experience. And to know that at the end of a day when you're thoroughly exhausted, that you've done all that you can do that day. Sweet, sweet connections. So that's another thing we can do on a daily basis. We could add to that, some people might read Holy Writ together or with a family. Now, we could list enough things to keep you tied up for about 18 hours if you want to. And that probably won't be that productive, because we'll have such an overwhelming list. Just pick one or two. What would happen if we did the 10-second kiss and we listened for a few minutes each day? Would that be a little better than sometimes how it goes now? Whatever it is, to raise it just a notch or two. Let's raise the bar on our relationships tonight. Let's just raise them a little bit. Let's just show up a little bit more affectionate, a little bit more caring, a little bit more interested. Let's do that every day. Now, once a week, how about a non-negotiable date night? A non-negotiable date night. Just shut the world off. Turn off the phones. No text messages, no emails, just totally together. Doesn't matter what you do. Just do it. Now, the greatest concerns I receive are people with small children. It's very difficult. What do we do, Dave? And I say, I don't know. Use your mental rehearsal, your inspiration, exploration, and find a solution. You've got a brilliant mind. Instead of spending time in catastrophe or fantasy, not going there today. I'm going to figure out how to find a babysitter for the children. You will find some of the most creative, interesting ways to make sure you have a date, if you put your mind to it. So every week, a non-negotiable date night. Now, once every month, a day together, just a day. Now, it's interesting. I've got Ramona sitting next to me, so we get reminded every time I share this and she's taking notes that, you know, she gets to say, what do we do today? Then I get to say the next month, what do we do today? And frankly, that particular day, we generally, instead of doing a quarterly retreat, we do a monthly one. So it's, we do just a little bit more than the minimum of a day. But if that's all you've got, block out a day, like a Saturday. Turn off your phone and just be together. It's just time to read and walk and talk and give each other a back rub and plan. It's a great time to be together. If you have an idea of the next time you're going to be together, it's just so wonderful. Because every quarter, we're recommending, these are minimums, every quarter you do a 3-day retreat. Shut off the phones, just the two of you, together. Just together. And I turn to Ramona and say, when is our next 3-day retreat, sweetheart? This Friday. This Friday. I can feel it. I was writing today, and I just got this warm feeling flood over me. And Friday, we're leaving. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? So exciting. We all need someone to love, someone who loves us, and something to look forward to. You can get through almost anything. Working all week, speaking all weekend. We've had some really busy weeks for the last several weeks. And this weekend is ours. This is our weekend. And then we have speaking engagements and trainings for the rest of the month. It's wonderful. We'll be refreshed. We'll be ready. Because this weekend is ours. Now, some people say, how do I pay for this? Well, when you get to the financial goal setting, that's the focus. Okay? We want to pay for this quarterly retreat or this day together, or annually, we recommend spending 6 or 7 days someplace. Just someplace. Doesn't have to be expensive. It just needs to happen. And we're doing our personal goal setting, and we're going, well, how do we put this money aside? How do we make this happen? And what I just shared with you, if we've got a clear vision of what you want to have your life to be like for us, age 85, and then this is what we're going to do every day, and this is what we're going to do every week, and every month, and every quarter, and every year. This is what we're going to be doing. We know that if we do that, when we get to age 85, we will have intentionally created our relationship. Now, there's a relationship discussion in terms of the children, same kind of planning, financial, same kind of planning, health, same kind of planning. But just using this one as an example, I believe this one is probably the richest of them all. What are we going to do in terms of friends and family, those closest to us? Because frankly, when it gets down to the end, you don't get to take your money with you. What you get to take is the love you feel for those around you. And oh, to leave this planet feeling that connected and loving those around you and having them love you. I think that's the ultimate send-off from our mortality. So, how do you pay for it? We get over to the financial side. We'll build it into the equation. It will help us do a little extra. We listen to Og Mandino in scroll number 3. At the end of the day, I will just do one more thing and create an insurmountable advantage over those who quit at a prescribed time. I'll actually do that. You know, when I'm tempted to go home, my tired bones are aching, I will stay one more for one more phone call, one more possibility. I will act now. I won't procrastinate. I'll do things. Scroll 5, a whole list of possibilities. All the things that we'll do to make each day matter. We'll seal up its container of life and not let one drop spill upon the sand. Because to do so would be to steal food and clothing from those we love. And we could add to that in our quarterly and annual retreat. Isn't that fun? Let's go to that scroll just for a second. Scroll 5. Look what he says. I will avoid with fury the killers of time. Great idea. But what's the motivation? What's the passion behind doing that? Because I want to create the revenue to go on that annual retreat. I want to create the revenue to go on that quarterly retreat. Procrastination I'll destroy with action. Doubt I'll bury under faith. Fear I'll dismember with confidence. Can you feel the energy when you're here? Where there are idle mouths, I will listen not. Where there are idle hands, I will linger not. Where there are idle bodies, I will visit not. Henceforth I know to court idleness is to steal food, clothing, and warmth. There's your quarterly retreat and your annual retreat. Warmth from those I love. I'm not a thief. I'm a man of love, and today is my last chance to prove my love and my goodness by doing what needs to be done today so that we get to that quarterly retreat, we can pay for it. But that's the relationship. Now, we've got the Ustream up. We've got the telephone, 801-541-9181. If anybody's got a question or a concern, please share it. And I'll be happy to address it as we're going through this process. But you see that in this particular area, I'm emphasizing it tonight because it's the area that generally gets the least amount in terms of dreaming of possibilities. When we're young, we dream of wonderful weddings. We dream of perfect families and husbands who don't burp or fart, excuse the expression. And all of a sudden we get into real life and it's so different. And then we get into enduring it day after day after day, and people start getting pulled apart, and pretty soon they're like roommates, and the pain gets bad enough they separate or they divorce. They blow apart relationships. And the primary reason for it is they don't have a vision. They don't have a dream. They don't have a reason for doing something different. So of all the areas where you can dream and set a goal, this would be the place. This would be the place. Start here. Because everything else will come from it, if it is a relationship that you desire. Now, those of you who don't have one, who would like to have one, I just coached with this gentleman this last week. We meet once a month, have for 7 years. I've shared this story before. I have permission to share it. I won't mention his name, but I have permission to share it. Amazing human being. He works for a wonderful company, runs their sales department, has a handsome six-figure income. new baby son. Well, he's not new anymore. He's a year and a half. A tyrant. Beautiful wife. They're just soulmates. When I met him 7 years ago, he was on his way to drug rehab for a crystal meth and alcohol addiction. Devastated. Horrible relationships. We talked on the way to the rehab as he was being driven there, and he got an Agmandino book to read while he was in rehab. He came out and we started coaching. A few months into the coaching, he started to express interest in having a great relationship. I use his example because it's so extreme in both directions. Because he really didn't know how to have a relationship with a woman, powerful, committed, trusting, intimate relationship. And when it was time, we went through a very simple process. Well, simple to describe, really challenging to do, but valuable. Because no matter where we are, we can apply this to our life. His was an extreme example. Ours may not be. His was. The very first thing we did was a mental rehearsal. We explored the person he would like to be with. What does she look like? What's her background? What are her hobbies? What does she like to do? What kind of person is she? We got really crystal clear on this person till I could just see her in my eyes, in my mind, my mind's eye. And once we'd finished that exercise, he and I stepped into her world. And we saw the person she was looking for. Who is that person? Then we did a personal inventory. What is she looking for? And how are you currently behaving? Now, it could be some physical attributes that can be changed. If it were educational attributes, those could be changed. Other behaviors certainly can be. We made a list, and we began doing the work of creation to shift those habits. For him, some of those habits were really painful to shift. He knew who he wanted, and he knew where he would find someone like this, and he also knew that almost every place he'd been going in his life, she wouldn't be. So he stopped going. He looked at some of his habits and he stopped doing. Now some of his nights were lonely, but better lonely than to break his vision. He was driven by passion to become that person. He wasn't faking. He was like everyone on this call tonight, magnificent in every way, just burdened by addiction and by self-deprecating thought processes that had caused him to do things that were not healthy. As he shifted his thoughts, shifted his behavior, developed new habits, it's about 4 years of the process. Because his, again, was extreme. Watch this magnificent man come alive. Then one October, 3 years ago, I get a phone call. And he said, Dave, my soulmate just walked into my life. It was a tearful conversation. And he talked about the fact that they were getting married the next June. And I said, that's going to be interesting. There's some commitments you've made about your relationship and where intimacy fits. No judgment for anybody on the phone. He had made these, and to stick to those, that was going to be a hard thing to do. And he called me back the next day, and they decided to move the wedding up to, like, the next month. And they got married, and it wasn't long, and baby was on the way, and they designed and built a new home, and they just moved into it a few months ago. Now I could tell her story. You'd find a parallel journey. I believe there's a power who knows. If that's something someone really wants, it may not happen with our current habits. It's possible. There may be some things about us and how we're taking care of ourselves, physically, emotionally, spiritually, issues of victimhood and other things that can just drain people. We may have to let go of our pain, show up in the service of others, get that light back in our eyes. But I believe if that's something that you want, you can intentionally create it. I've seen it happen too many times. It wasn't that many years ago that we had a knock on our door, and there standing at the door when we opened it was a woman I'd worked with 10 years prior, standing there with her new husband. They'd driven from California to Utah, and she wanted to introduce him. She was so happy. 10 years prior, it was just a disaster. Her husband had just been unfaithful, blown apart his practice, and left her with 4 sons to raise alone. Just so tragic. And now triumphant. I know there's a lot of yes bots and all kinds of stuff that could be happening. But this is for someone who really, really wants to have that companion, who's willing to get a vision of possibility. What you want. And get clear on what they want. And then pay the price to become that person. To do everything to release those things in your life so that you can show up whole and complete. I know it's a terribly sensitive topic. I just know it's possible. This is called intentional creation. Now, we only have 9 minutes left. In terms of business, I want to focus tonight not on building a business. I'll tell you just some basic ingredients that if you want to build a business and build it well, you'll know how much money you want to make in the next year. It'll be a realistic and attainable goal. And you will convert it to the numbers of people you'll want to change, touch, bless, lift, build. And you'll spend the rest of the year looking for and serving those people. And the money will be a natural outcome. It will not be the focus. There will not be a dollar sign over everybody's head. But the dollar signs will occur because of genuine service and blessing their lives. It's really that simple. Where I felt impressed tonight to spend the last few minutes is in terms of being an employee. In the chapter that is finished, I told the story of a Saturday morning that I called my father. I felt impressed to call him. He's getting up in years. He's been working on his family history. He's been very quiet. He says very little. And that morning, he stepped into my world for, I think, the first time I remember and asked me some questions about how the book was coming, and I shared with him. And I asked him a question. And he shared some stories with me I had never heard before. I thought my father was a workaholic, period. He was always gone. His job required it. He was an engineer, and his job was to fix computers nobody else could fix. All other options were expired. He was the only and last front. He had no option to fix them. And he started telling me stories about some of those computers that he'd fixed. And I discovered at the end of our conversation, all of his years of work, he never failed to fix one of them. Never failed to fix one of them. What I learned from my father is that he had a clear vision of what he was to do. It got him excited. He loved what he did. He loved electronics. That was his passion. And computers. When he was doing computers, I mean, there was a whole room full of wires for what happens in my iPhone now. But that was his world. And he would walk in after some of the brightest, brilliant engineers in the world have worked on a computer, and he would fix it within hours. How is that possible? Dorothea Brand said to change inertia and get us moving, basically. And we want to act as if we cannot fail. That's how he functioned. What would be different in our economy if every employee in every place of work brought all of them to the job. All of their talents, all their gifts, all of their energy, all their enthusiasm. And they approached every task with, I'm the last person. I'm not going to go through the motions. I'm not going to clock in, clock out, go to lunch, take my breaks, go through my motions. You know, that's all they're paying me for anyway. And spend all the time that is so commonly spent resisting doing everything that we can do in the time that's allotted. When in fact, self-esteem is directly impacted when we hold back. Self-esteem is fed when we bring our genius to the table and we experience a sense of accomplishment, even if it's not recognized, even if we're not remunerated for what we've done. What would be different in this country if we weren't an entitlement society, always negotiating a wage? What would happen if we just showed up and did our very, very best? I've written some examples in the book of people I know who've done this and how they've risen to the top. My neighbor, he's building a 50,000 square foot house. It'll be done in time for the Halloween party. Two swimming pools indoors. I mean, it's crazy. But he just sold a company for an amazing sum of money. And he started out as a copywriter. Copywriter, writing advertisements. But he made himself irreplaceable. In a year, he became a partner and dropped out of college, didn't even finish. And over the years, his partners came in with ideas that he knew would not work because he had already been through them in his mind. He'd already played it out. He already saw the possibilities. Every weekend, on his own time, he learned a new computer program. Every weekend, something new that he could bring to add value to what he was doing. And he added more value and more value and more value till one day he owned the whole place. Then he brought in an amazing partner who's one of my other neighbors and a dear friend. And they just had a heck of a payday. That payday wasn't an accident because both of them are the kind of people that always bring everything to everything they do. They don't hold back anything based on a wage, based on a time commitment, based on whether they get an advancement. You see, we're not going to work to do a job. We're going to work to learn how to be a creator. And everything we do with a creator's mindset prepares us for even more, whether it's at that place of employment or another place of employment. The cream does rise to the top. I'm going to ask you to start seeing possibilities where you work. For a very practical reason as well, because some of you have home-based businesses. And when we're holding back and we feel burdened and overwhelmed and they've given me too much to do and I come home and I look at that easy chair and I climb in, turn on the television, I'm just going to watch it for a minute, and 4 hours later we're still watching it and telling ourselves, I'm going to do that tomorrow night. I'm going to do it tomorrow night. I will do it. I promise myself I will. But tomorrow never comes. It's always today. And today we're tired. One of the greatest gifts you'll give yourself in falling back in love with what you're doing and just bring all of you. You'll come home energized. Excited. There'll be something that has awakened inside of you because you will have touched your own genius. It's just a great way to live. May we, in fact, do this week. If we're going, oh, Dave, well, what would happen if tomorrow morning we got up early, we got ready for the day, we read one of the scrolls, we walked in and we started looking for the good in people and in their ideas, and we notice and we listen and we become sunshine. And we look at the tasks we've been assigned and we just do them with such enthusiasm and thoroughness. Yeah, they'll give us another one. We do that one as well. You feel what it'll be like for you to wake up yourselves? I know many of you do. I may be preaching to the choir tonight. But if not, would you consider doing this tomorrow? So your assignment this week is really simple. You're going to read Scroll 8, which is, I'll multiply my value 100-fold. The way we multiply our value 100-fold is to tie our dreams and the millimeters of creation together. We go to the possibility. We don't go beyond it. That's fantasy. We start working our way back to the steps for actually creating it, and we become intentional creators of our dreams. That's multiplying our value 100-fold. We're burying ourselves in the dark, rich soil, our failures, our discouragements, our inabilities. We sucker this soil. We feed our and nurture ourselves. We suck seed. We sucker the seed till it sprouts into 100 grains of wheat. Hogg says we must have objectives before our life will crystallize. Want a great relationship? Get a clear vision of why. Then work toward it. You want to be an intentional creator? Be one everywhere you go, including your employment. You want to build a successful business? Get clear on the money. Then convert the money to people. And then spend the rest of the year serving the people. The money will be a natural byproduct. Well, that's it. May you have the courage to actually do this. Pull out a pen and a paper. Start thinking about it. Spend some time envisioning this so you can see the possibilities. So that we make our lives matter. We don't want to waste a day, ever. Hawk says, this day is my eternity. This is it. This is the only time we get to touch the timeline of our life. It will always be now. And what are we doing now? Well, everybody have a great night and a great week. Let's take this on. Next week, we're going to go into physical creation and an exercise to assist you in, once you've identified these steps, actually executing them so that you can intentionally create the dreams